This is KGNU's Morning Magazine for Wednesday, August 31st of 2022. I'm your host, Hannah Stewart. Thank you for joining us here on listener-supported community radio. Coming up on today's program, we'll hear an update about the CMEX plant application hearing in front of the Boulder County Commissioners, scheduled for September 1st. Then we go to Suncor. The state recently issued an operating permit for the Denver refinery after a 12-year delay. Then, herbalist Brigitte Mars will bring us her regular Wednesday feature, Naturally. A BBC News update is at the bottom of the hour, then it's the Hightower Lowdown. On today's A Public Affair, we will bring you Storytellers of Color with Rosanna Longobetter as she interviews Donnie L. Betts. And then at 9 a.m., we will air a production from Betts called Radio Theater Destination Freedom. At 9:30, Uncle Jeff will be in the Boulder studio for the Morning Sound Alternative. That's all still ahead this morning, but first, a look at the headlines with KGNU's Christian Garabay.
Republican candidate for Colorado's House District 10, Bill DiOrio, filed an official complaint on Monday to the Boulder County Clerk and Recorder's Office for poor efforts monitoring remote drop-off boxes. According to the Daily Camera, DiOrio became concerned about the surveillance of these boxes after his election office toured the city facilities in June. After the visit, DiOrio filed a records request to see surveillance footage from numerous ballot boxes around the county. According to the Daily Camera, DiOrio argued that the camera quality and lighting surrounding the boxes were inadequate for monitoring who approached them and what they put into them during his election run. Clerk and recorder Molly Fitzpatrick commented on the situation, stating that, "I believe we are in compliance with these requirements." As of now, the Boulder County Clerk and Recorder's Office hasn't officially responded to DiOrio's complaint, but still has 21 days to do so before the House District 10 Republican candidate seeks out a litigator to represent him in court. Boulder County issues a temporary pause on gun control measures. KGNU's Claire Purnell has more.
More gun owners in Colorado are filing lawsuits to be exempt from recent gun control ordinances that ban assault weapons and large-capacity magazines. With temporary restraining orders issued Tuesday, Boulder County will not enforce the local gun bans until further notice. The ban on assault weapons and large-capacity magazines was part of one of six measures passed by Boulder City Council on June 7, 2022, to limit gun violence. However, local gun owners believe the ordinance is illegal and against their constitutional right to bear arms. After a judge in Superior issued restraining orders against the ban last month, Boulder decided to temporarily pause its ordinance, saying in a news release that it would allow time for more legal coordination among neighboring jurisdictions. For KGNU, I'm Claire Purnell.
The U.S. Department of Education is canceling student loans for those who attended Westwood College in Colorado between the years of 2002 to 2015, after an investigation found the school misled their students about employment prospects, credits transferring between schools, loans, and other issues. Westwood College operated 15 campuses across the country, as well as an online program. The DOE's widespread loan relief includes a $107 million for Colorado students that attended Westwood, part of President Biden's ongoing effort to help ease student loan debt. As of now, more than $14 billion in student loans has been erased. Two Superior residents, Ryan Hitchler and Jason Serbu, submitted a petition on Monday to the city clerk's office protesting the Board of Trustees' recent decision to develop a life sciences campus in Superior. Hitchler's petition to block the development asked the city to put the proposal up for a vote. If the Superior Town Clerk's Office approves the petition, within 5 days, Hitchler and Serbu will have to collect the signatures of at least 5% of Superior's registered voters in order for it to make it onto the ballot for a regular or special election. Erie promotes a rebate program for tree diversity. KGNU's Kiara Damari has more.
The town of Erie is offering a tree rebate program. Residents who buy trees that are resistant to the ash borer beetle, included on an improved list of trees from an improved nursery, can get up to $200 back. The program runs from September 1st through October 15th. According to the Daily Camera, that time frame is optimal planting practices. Erie Town Forester Tom Reed is in his first year with Erie Parks and Recreation Department, but has been in the Forester Service in Boulder County for over a decade. He told the Daily Camera that within that time, he's seen the emerald ash borer beetle destroyed countless of trees in the area. What the emerald ash borer taught us is that planting too many of one species is a really risky thing to do, especially when insects and diseases can travel the globe at a fast rate, Reed said. The rebate application, the tree list, and other resources are available on the town website. For KGNU, I'm Kiara Damari.
Today's forecast will be mostly sunny with a slight chance of thunderstorms after 1 p.m. The high is 92 degrees and the low is 59 degrees. The National Weather Service expects the storm will bring gusty outflow winds as strong as 60 miles per hour in the eastern plains. Farther west, for the urban corridor, foothills, and mountains, wind gusts will be up to 40 miles per hour. For KGNU, I'm Christian Garibay.
You are listening to The Morning Magazine on KGNU. I'm your host, Hannah Stewart. On Thursday, the Boulder County Planning Commission will weigh in on extending permits for CEMEX, a cement manufacturing company and one of the worst polluters in Colorado. Boulder County staff and the Department of Parks and Open Space signed off on CEMEX's application earlier this month. Meanwhile, the Boulder County Planning Commission delayed their vote in order to gather more information. KGNU's Rosanna Longo-Better spoke with Sarah Lorang with Good Neighbors of Lyons, who says, after 2 weeks of collecting more information, they are still requesting to deny the plant's request to extend operations for another 15 years because the plant is old, polluting, and there is no shortage of cement in Colorado.
You know, again, just background context, you know, a lot of people are so worried, you know, we need cement, which we do, but Colorado as a state is a net exporter of cement. We export about 10% of our state's production, and CEMEX is actually a pretty small plant, and they only actually make about 10% of our state's production, so it's kind of a wash. But it's such an old plant, you know, it's a 50-year-old plant. Even a plant that's 20 years old would be 50% more efficient and produce 50% less emissions than a plant like CEMEX. And Colorado is actually home to this amazing groundbreaking technology and cement production down in Florence, Colorado. There's a new cement factory there, which has basically a zero carbon footprint.
So the staff issued a new memo with additional detail. I can't say their reasoning changed at all. They just offered a little more color as to what their logic was. So our arguments are very similar to what they were on August 17th.
And what are those arguments?
The biggest thing is kind of the linkage between the Dow Flats mine, which is north of Highway 66, and then the Lyons Quarry, which is south of 66. The quarry is the plant that processed the cement. The plant is the number one polluter. They emit about 357,000 tons of carbon a year. They make up about 7% of all greenhouse gas emissions in the county. So when they're talking about the environmental impact of extending this 15-year permit at Dow Flats, the county is insisting that we do not discuss the plant because they are separate. However, state-level permits link the two. They see them as kind of a single operation, and they are very intertwined at the state level because the current state-level permits, specifically permit M1977208, says that if mining, the adjacent mining stops, then the plant, which is also known as Lyons Quarry, must stop operations and be torn down and reclaimed. Like, that is the end of its life. So that would remove the pollution. So a lot of the debate is a legal one of how separate or not separate they are, because the county wants to say the immense environmental impact of the plant is not something we can discuss. And we say we should, because they are linked. However, the state also uses this perceived theoretical future benefits related to things other than Dow Flats as justification for approving this permit. The county was offered about $17 million in free land as a benefit for extending mining 15 years, and most of that land is on the plant property. CEMEX offered to, quote, cease cement plant operation at the end of 15 years. And so they're citing that as an environmental benefit. So they're wanting to claim the benefit, but not any of the negative impacts. And that kind of violates a legal doctrine called cherry picking. You can include it for some things, but not all things. And so one of our big arguments is you have to pick one or the other. And then another huge legal argument is that it's all been talked about as this is an extension of mining, that this is kind of extending what's already been happening for 25 years. And it's not. This is a new special use because there was a defined expiration date, but there are a lot of supporting facts that it's more than just an expiration date. There were promises, there were covenants signed, there were a million things. So it's a new special use. And so when you're comparing that impact of the mine, you have to compare it to what the status quo is. And status quo is that that land is going to begin reclamation. So reclamation is just bringing the land back to what it was before they mined it. And so at Dow Flats, that's digging huge pits. They mine predominantly limestone and shale there. So they just are digging. And it's they've been doing some reclamation as they go, but it's still an extensive reclamation process to remove anything toxic and to bring it back to so the land looks and has the vistas that it originally had pre-mining. And that process there would take probably about 3 years. Reclamation at the plant would probably be a lot more extensive because there is a lot of toxic material. One of the core mining activities still happening at Lion's Quarry, which is the plant, is processing the cement kiln dust that comes from Dow Flats. And that's a highly toxic material that is buried at the Lion's Quarry. And so obviously when you're handling really toxic things and nearly 50 years of that kind of activity happening on that plant, reclamation is expensive and lengthy. So it's two separate reclamation processes though.
What are the next steps on this issue for your organization and the community behind it?
We're wanting to make sure that the community is still loud and shares its thoughts with the Planning Commission prior to this September 1st meeting. Given that we're not sure if the public will have the opportunity to speak at the meeting on September 1st, we are encouraging everybody to write into the Planning Commission prior to September 1st with feedback on the staff memo and kind of their thoughts on the application. And then once that concludes, once we kind of see how September 1st goes in, the date has not been announced yet, but this will go to our three elected Boulder County commissioners who will have the ultimate say. And so we want the public to come out loud and share their thoughts once that date is announced, because we want the commissioners to know how the public feels. And right now, it's been pretty unanimous opposition against this application.
I have been speaking with Sarah Lorang with Good Neighbors of Lions about the CIMIC application for an additional 15 years of mining at the Dove Flats that will be decided by the Boulder County commissioners. For KGNU, I am Rosanna Longo-Better.
The state issued an operating permit to Suncor Refinery in northwest Denver last week after a 12-year delay. The Colorado Department of Health and Environment, the agency responsible for issuing the permits, blamed their failure to issue permits on overly complex EPA regulations creating overly complex permitting processes. The new permits require Suncor to ramp up air quality monitoring around its facility and the surrounding neighborhoods. Critics say the permits make no real attempt to limit Suncor's greenhouse gas emissions and are another example of the state's failure to crack down on the oil and gas industry. KGNU's Alexis Kenyon spoke with Kate Merlin, an attorney for the Wild Earth Guardians, about the permits and what the lack of regulations mean for Colorado.
Kate Merlin, thank you so much for talking with me today.
You're very welcome. Thank you for having me.
So, Kate, to start, can you tell me how big a deal Suncor is when it comes to Colorado air pollution? How much pollution is Suncor emitting?
Suncor emits an amazing amount of air pollution. It's actually the largest non-power plant source of air emissions in the state. And it's a little bit incredible that it's been allowed to continue operating so close to the largest population center of Colorado. Just for comparison, the Rocky Flats facility was shut down. The Rocky Mountain Arsenal was shut down. And both of those were shut down because the federal government realized that it was inappropriate to have these very dangerous, very dirty operations so close to Denver. And unfortunately, the state has not taken the same type of attitude or action towards Suncor, which is just spewing massive amounts of pollution into the community that make it one of the most polluted zip codes in the United States. And frankly, you know, to continue to allow a facility like Suncor to operate in this community, it's a massive environmental justice issue. I honestly believe that if it was located anywhere other than a low-income Latino community, it would have been shut down a long time ago. It's just wrong.
Beyond just affecting air quality in surrounding areas, I mean, recently the EPA announced that they were going to downgrade the Northern Front Range from serious to severe violators of federal ozone standards, which would trigger new rules and more regulation. I mean, do you think any of these conversations or these penalties are making a difference?
So we're being downgraded because of the amount of time we have been in non-attainment, which has been approximately 15 years. But as long as the standards have existed, Colorado has been out of attainment. So we keep getting downgraded by the EPA, and it's going to keep happening until the state takes major action, particularly given that the state is planning on nearly doubling its oil and gas production in the next decade. And how the state believes that it can nearly double its oil and gas production while reducing its pollution impacts, this is not mathematically possible. You cannot continue to add sources of pollution, in particular from the oil and gas industry, which is the largest source of ozone in the state, and expect that our ozone is going to come down without serious changes. You know, the problem with the Title V permits that are being reissued by the state is that the state is not only authorizing Suncor to emit more pollution, they are relying on monitoring instead of reducing emissions limits. So if the state really was serious about requiring Suncor to operate within limits, it would lower the limits that Suncor was allowed to emit. So, however, they've decided not to do that.
It's interesting because improving air quality is something that we hear a lot about in Colorado. And yet, when you look at the state's messaging around how to improve air quality, the conversation really centers around transportation rather than oil and gas. This past month was a really perfect example of that when the state launched the RTD Zero Fare campaign centered around reducing ozone levels through increased use of public transportation. I mean, what is this about?
It's incredibly frustrating to have the state perpetuating the narrative that cars are the number one source of ozone pollution. That is simply not the case. The state likes to point to cars as it points to everything that is outside its control as being the problem with ozone. It says fires are the problem. It says that cars are the problem. It says that China is the problem. All of these things being conveniently outside of the state's control. The thing that is within its control is the oil and gas industry. And they're simply not being truthful when they don't admit that oil and gas is the primary source of this problem.
So another thing that I think a lot of people don't realize is that Colorado has the seventh worst air quality in the United States. That's behind Utah, Georgia, Ohio, West Virginia, Indiana, and Tennessee. What does poor air quality mean for Colorado, which historically has been known for, you know, outdoor activities and clean mountain air?
Right. So that's one of the other things that I'd like to mention is that, you know, Colorado suffers economically when we have poor air quality. Our health suffers. There are direct and indirect health costs. There's also costs to Colorado's reputation. Our tourism industry is orders of magnitude larger than our oil and gas industry. And if people stop associating Colorado with natural beauty and clean air, and instead they think of us as a dirty, polluted industrial place, our tourism industry is going to suffer immensely. And I think that the state is being very short-sighted in coddling the oil and gas industry. And I think we're not seeing the forest for the trees here. Our ozone is a terrible problem. It's very expensive for our state to continue having these severe ozone problems. It's very dangerous for our people, and it's economically damaging in a lot of ways. If there's one takeaway that I think, you know, I would like to remind people is that, you know, while cars are a source of nitrogen oxides, and I would never say that cars aren't any problem. We should all drive as much as we like. The problem really isn't cars. And so it's very frustrating to me to hear, you know, consider driving less. People aren't thinking, hey, I'm going to go for a joyride today. People are trying to take their kids to school. They are trying to get to work. And to blame people for this problem when the oil and gas is so much of a larger issue is just, I feel that it's almost emotionally abusive to the people of Colorado. You're damaging their health and then you're telling them that it's their fault. It is not primarily their fault. It is primarily the fault of oil and gas production in Colorado.
I think that's called gaslighting.
It is called gaslighting. You're right.
I know. Yeah. No pun intended.
No, definitely take that pun. That pun is a win.
Oil and gaslighting. The government is lying to us about ozone pollution.
Oil and gaslighting. I'm going to use that. I'm going to use that from now on.
Kate Merlin is an attorney for Colorado's Wild Earth Guardians. Kate, thanks so much for talking with me.
No, thank you, Alexis. Have a wonderful afternoon.
For KGNU, I'm Alexis Kenyon.
Time now for Naturally with herbalist Brigitte Mars.
Greetings. Welcome to Naturally. Today's topic is the fine art of flirting and finding a mate. Maybe you would like someone to snuggle up with this autumn and winter, and I might have a few ideas for you. I've always told my children, pray for someone who loves you as much as you love them at the same time. Remember that clause about at the same time. You can't flirt at home. You have to go out. So where are you going to meet like-minded people? You could join political groups, spiritual groups, environmental groups, campaign for things you believe in. Always a good idea. Have a business card, even if it's just your calling card. You know, you might meet someone and think, oh, well, I'll meet them later if it's meant to be. But, you know, by then they might have two kids and be married. So have some way to give someone your contact information. And practice flirting. It's good for you. It stimulates endorphin production. Do some kind of volunteer work that supports your philosophy. Ask for hobbies or ask for advice at hobbies or sports stores. Natural food stores are great places to meet conscious people. Ask them what they do with a jicama. Ask someone nice looking for directions. You might think about carrying an interesting looking book with the title showing, or some kind of unusual conversation piece, an instrument. Wear a button with an interesting statement on it, something that might promote a comment. When you see someone that looks interesting, seize the moment, and you might say, I feel like we're supposed to meet. My name is. Now, of course, in this day and age, we can't overdo things. That can seem really threatening. Don't overdo eye contact. Staring can make a person feel uncomfortable. Learn to read body language. Go to parties. Tell your friends that you're looking for someone. And don't overdo it, being needy. If you find someone interesting to talk to, excuse yourself and maybe come back later, say at a party. Dance with someone who asks. Make it clear who you are flirting with. It's hard to flirt with someone if they're always in a big crowd. Find ways to run into each other over and over and remember something about them. How was your trip? How was that new job that you just got? And of course, if you're wanting to meet someone of the opposite sex, you might need to go to the gym or the yoga class when it's not just for the same sex. So look for someone who brings out the best in you. And of course, not only look for the right person, you must be the right person. Thanks for joining me, Brigitte Mars, on Naturally.
that's all the time we have for today's Morning Magazine. I've been your host, Hannah Stewart. Special thanks to Christian Garabay, Kiara Damari, Claire Purnell, Rosanna Longobetter, Alexis Kenyon, and Brigitte Mars for their contributions to today's program. Stay tuned for the Hightower Lowdown, and then a public affair. That's after these news headlines from the BBC.